The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? We are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the Colorado Avalanche today. Some of the news coming out of morning skate. Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California. He reports that Yaroslav Askarov is the first off the ice and he should be getting the start. One other point of interest is that Tyler Toffoli is not on the ice for morning skate. It was questionable yesterday that he would travel with the team as he was apparently dealing with an illness. But right now, I've got a treat for you. Dan Ruzanowski, the Hall of Fame play-by-play announcer for the San Jose Sharks, the voice of the Sharks, joins us now. Dan, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Well, I'm great. It's a beautiful day for hockey here in Denver. We've got the San Jose Sharks playing solid hockey against the team. It's been the best in the NHL all season, the Colorado Avalanche. And I'm just looking forward to checking out the morning skate with Drew and doing all of the usual game day stuff because I think there's a little extra intensity and excitement about this one.
So I have to ask you a question now, and I don't know if this will make us sound old or intelligent, but you and I have seen all the Sharks hockey. We've been there from day number one. Is it fair to draw comparisons to the 93-94 season with the type of turnaround we've seen, or do we have to wait until the season is at a point where they are in the playoff conversation in March to start to make that conversation and comparison?
Well, they're in the playoff conversation now, and right now they're in ninth place, and it's the day before Thanksgiving, and if they win, they could get into a playoff position depending on what happens out of town. If they're in a playoff position on the day of Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving, that is, they have a 77% chance of making the playoffs. That starts to make that discussion a little bit more of a reality in comparison to 1994, but I'm one of the ones who says, let's wait a little bit. Let's not get too excited. There's a lot of hockey to be played. And I'm really thinking, in my opinion, as we get closer to the trade deadline, that's when we really start to perhaps hone in on that. But there are a lot of good signs. I'm telling you, there are a lot of good signs about how you feel around the team, the types of contributions they're getting from role players and people that nobody had a lot of expectation for and more hope than expectation. And I think that that's something that we can hang our hockey helmets on at this point.
We've been really lucky the last few years with how good the vibes have been with the team, just in terms of the personnel who have been here. Even amidst the dark times, you still had Mario Ferraro being a fun-loving, classy guy. We had Nico Sturm here previously, Luke Cunning. You know, you can go down the list of guys who really helped the atmosphere in the room. But I will say, Dan, that going down into the dressing room after the games, and I'm sure you get this same sense when you travel with the team because you're still on air when I'm in the dressing room, it hasn't felt like this since the 2018-2019 season, just in terms of the confidence, just in terms of the smiles, the laughter, the fun, I guess, is even more of a better aspect of it. In my opinion, it hasn't been like that since that last season where they did make the run to the Western Conference Final.
And that's a tribute to the leadership group on the team, the way that they've gotten this team together. I think that it all started with the trip to see the Book of Mormon in New York with Ryan Reeves setting that up. He's been a huge part of this team. And all of the veteran players that have made it a little bit easier and more accommodating for the youngsters to be successful. To me, that's the fascinating story about this early season.
When Ryan Reeves did an off-season interview with you after he was acquired by San Jose, he told a great story about breaking a fellow competitor's collarbone playing some sort of peewee football. And ever since that moment, I kind of realized, like, oh, I love having this guy in teal. We did the training camp media day interview with him. First thing he said was, I look great in teal. If there's anyone who's bought in as much as anyone I've seen lately, it's Ryan Reeves. It's like he became a Shark, and it was like he'd always been a member of this franchise. Having his impact on the team, Dan, I don't think it can be overstated because he is such a great vibes guy, and he takes some of that pressure off of Ferraro as well because Ferraro had to kind of carry that torch, not entirely solo, but he was the lone guy who was really known for being loud, and now they've got a couple guys in the room.
Right. And also it enhances the younger guys to sort of take those positions too. You know, Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith are having fun with each other at age 18, 19, 20. And yet they're not necessarily doing that around the older guys. They're a little bit more serious. Will's got that ability to get Macklin going a little bit. And I think that that's another factor. It loosens that atmosphere. That's why Ryan Reeves is so important. He keeps everybody remembering the old Igor Larionov phrase, you don't work hockey, you play hockey. And I think that that's been something that they've enjoyed. And Ryan Reeves, by the way, is not just the guy who uses his fists and protects his teammates. He does that as well as anybody in the league. However, he can play the game. He scored a couple of really nice goals already this year. And I think he's regarding this as sort of an opportunity to showcase some of those skills a little bit more than he had been able to do in some of his other stops in the NHL, most specifically in Toronto over the last year or so. So for him, it's like being let out and freed, and ability to do that is really nice. And he's enjoying a very good role with Barkley Goodrow on that so-called fourth line. Whoever's the center, whether it's Zach Ostapchuk or whether it's Adam Gaudette or whoever it might be, they're just fitting in really, really well together.
Well, I talked to Ostapchuk about that the other night after they got a win on the Thursday night game. I believe that was after the Kings game. And one of the things that he talked about was how much he was learning from those two veterans, being able to play with them on his wings. And I think it's really interesting the success that we've seen from guys who've come up from the Barracuda. And I talked to Nolenberger about this, about how they were put in the same roles. When Ostapchuk comes up, he's not asked to do anything different. He's had success. Cardwell, same story. Giles came, same story. And I think that's important because the Sharks are just trying to keep that continuity chain. It's a great opportunity for them to look at these young talents, and it's also putting them in a position of success to where they can play their game and learn from established veterans on this team.
Also, it's motivating to the guys in the American Hockey League. They know that if they're doing the job there, they're going to be asked to do the same thing at the NHL level. And so that motivates them to really focus on being better at it. You know, you go back to last year when Colin Graf got reassigned, he was asked to kill penalties. Never done it before in his entire life because he's always been a top scorer on his team and his coaches never asked him to do it. Well, he embraces that. And now look at him. He really is putting his arms around that at the NHL level, doing a great job. So I think that that's a real bonus, and that's just a sign of a well-run organization.
No, well said. Colin Graf, by the way, we watch his game continue to evolve. He's going to be a problem for guys in the NHL. I look at his instincts, his ability to win pucks along the boards. He's consistently in the right place at the right time. I think that kind of thing cannot be overstated. Even if his points aren't jumping off the board yet, I do think he has more offensive upside. But I think the thing that really shines through, Dan, is the fact that his hockey IQ is way above his age. And again, I point out he's always in the right place at the right time.
Well, even more than that, his stick is in the right place at the right time. And I think that that's a testimony to his studying the game and understanding what he has to do at the NHL level. And there are going to be ups and downs for him and for everybody, but we're seeing a lot of good things.
We've been talking a lot about Macklin Celebrini, but I feel like that's kind of shadowed the performance of Will Smith, who is getting better and better away from the puck. He's doing more things where he's turning defense into offense. I look back at that great play he made on the forecheck to win the puck back and feed Sam Dickinson for a game-tying goal that eventually led to a shootout loss against Detroit, but still a point is a point, especially in this very tight Western Conference right now. But he's essentially turned into a point-per-game player, and no one's talking about that because everyone is focused on Macklin Celebrini and Yaroslav Askarov. But Will Smith, Dan, just week after week, he continues to turn into a better player.
Well, I guess you could say if you compare to the Colorado Avalanche today, he's like Martin Necas because nobody's talking about him. They're talking about Cale Makar and they're talking about Nathan MacKinnon. Kind of the same thing here. I think, you know, Will got 7 shots on net against Boston. He came very close to scoring a couple of times. And he's a guy that's going to break out. And isn't it funny that last year he had that strong game against the Bruins and then he really kind of took off. So maybe this is a kind of a launch point for him too, after, you know, having a good effort against the Bruins, not figuring in on the goal scoring, but still having a pretty solid game. Maybe he does that again and starts to take off right now.
Last year, we saw Macklin Celebrini just evolve very quickly and he kind of hit the ground running, looking like a superstar, but I had to pump the brakes because I didn't want to seem too much like a homer and tell people that by my eyes, he already looked like one of the best players in the NHL. It was year number one. it was premature to go out there and be public with it. But now this year, he does look like one of the best players in the NHL, Dan. But more than that, his scorings of just goals has really taken a big step forward. And he's in that conversation now as the one of the top scorers in the league. I don't think I saw that big of a year or two coming from him, even though I thought he was phenomenal last year. How surprised are you by this, or did you kind of see it coming?
We could see it coming. It's just a question of, you know, how long this is going to last and what types of sustainability it has. I don't have any doubt that there's going to be that. He's just become a superstar player, and he's done that very, very quickly. The next test, obviously, is what he's getting right now. He's getting all the best defensemen playing against him. He's getting all of the attention that we talked about. And I think that he has to, you know, pull a few new tricks out of his hockey bag when he's on the ice, because they're scouting him very, very closely, which means that they're checking him in a way that they see he could be vulnerable. But he hasn't shown a lot of vulnerability. He's just great in all three zones. He skates hard. Right now he's got 22 even strength points, Ted, and that's fifth in the NHL. Yeah. He's right at the top. He's number two in scoring to Nathan MacKinnon. So that makes tonight's matchup really fascinating. But that even strength number is really important because it means he's not depending on the power plays. Mm-hmm. He's doing it under very adverse circumstances. And I've just been amazed at how quickly he has developed into a top player. And that's what he is right now.
You bring up the power play. What do you think about the struggles they've had lately, which is kind of a weird thing to say considering they have had power play goals in a lot of games lately, but it just doesn't look like it's by design. I guess that's lack of a better term. And Ryan Warsofsky has talked about the relative frustrations of this after some of these games.
Well, 3-for-19 on the homestand, that's only 15.8%. That's probably not good enough. You want to be about 20% or better, really, if you want to be a top power play team, and maybe even over that, maybe 22-23%. But I'd say that it's tentativity. It's the desire to not make a mistake.
Right.
And the other thing is there's something else going on with this team too that I think is really special. And that is everybody is really happy for their teammates when they do well. And so that kind of seeps into the way that you play. You want, you know, you see an opportunity for a teammate to do well and you go to set him up. Sometimes you have to say, listen, I'm just going to take the shot. And I think that's what they want. But, you know, Will Smith told me that just before the Boston game. He said, we need more shots on goal on the power play because that'll create more chaos in front. Mm-hmm. That'll get us to get our teammates, for instance, to score goals, or we'll end up getting one because of that. So I think it's a work in progress. Brian Wiseman is really good at analyzing what's going on the power play as the Sharks assistant coach in charge of that. And I think that they're coming along. But, you know, sometimes in the NHL, it takes a while to get that put together.
The other side of the coin is the penalty kill, which has really turned things around. And that's starting to turn into a point of momentum for San Jose, Dan. They've had some shorties up to this point. They've been able to do a very, very good job killing penalties. I know that, you know, their streak of, you know, I think it was 17 in a row they had killed came to an end. But every time they're on the kill, it's a unit that's playing with confidence.
Well, on the homestand, 92% on the penalty kill. They only gave up one power play goal, so that's great numbers. And I think that, you know, you look at the way that they put that together with the defenseman. Vinny Desharnais has been a real godsend this year in killing penalties. And also, you know, people like Barkley Goodrow coming up front with all that experience. Colin Graf, again, as we talked about earlier, being part of this penalty kill and putting his arms around it. I just think that we're seeing a tight-knit unit in that situation taking pride in holding off the other team. Now, they got their hands full tonight, certainly, with MacKinnon and with Makar and with Natchez and with Lehkonen in front of the net. That's a big factor that Desharnais is going to have to deal with. So, you know, all of that, again, the challenge gets deeper and it gets stronger. And that's where the team has to develop.
Yeah, and you feel like you can't make many mistakes because both Mackenzie Blackwood and Scott Wedgwood are playing excellent hockey right now in net, which brings us to the conversation on the flip side. San Jose has had two excellent goalies as of late. Both Yaroslav Askarov and Alex Nedeljkovic have played very, very well. I know that Ned was on the hook for three the other night, but in none of those was he the issue. There was a power play goal, some bad changes. But he's been great, and Yaroslav Askarov has been phenomenal on a historic run, I think we can argue, Dan. And I think that just, again, breeds confidence for these San Jose Sharks because the goalies play well, the defense is tightened up in front of them, which is allowing the goalies to play even better. And then that, again, falls back on the defense. One hand keeps on feeding the other.
Also, Yaroslav Askarov is rapidly winning the title as the most entertaining in-arena interview after a game, just because of how he interacts with the fan base and everything else. He just loves the game. He loves to play the game. The thing that's that he's improved on this year, I think, is his play up above, up top. He's always been an elite goaltender down low with his tremendous athletic ability, but he's worked on his glove hand. He's worked on his positioning. So they're trying to go upstairs on him. I mean, Pasternak did a bunch of times and he was able to stop him over there. I think that sometimes, and again, you know, you talk about adjusting to, you know, a player when they have some success, he's a right-handed catching goaltender. Yeah. And so that means that teams have to adjust to that. And their first time through against him, maybe they, you know, they're reacting as if it's an in quotes normal left-handed catching goaltender and they shoot for the wrong area. But, you know, that's going to be adjusted to as well. And we'll see, and again, a big test for him in the coming days. But Askarov is looking like everything that they hoped for when they acquired him from Nashville. He's going to be a top goaltender, and it's just fun to see.
One of the things that Ryan Warsowski talked about entering this game against Colorado tonight was the challenge and how he's embracing the challenge. Now this team is viewing it as a really good test. And I think that's just indicative of the large change in mentality. Whereas before it was a good test, but maybe they weren't focusing on the challenge aspect. But now that they've taken down, you know, the Devils when they were healthier and a better team, they've taken down Colorado. They just took down a very hot Boston team. They feel confident going into this game. And that's a big change compared to where they've been the last couple of years. Now, I'm not predicting a win per se, because Colorado has been ridiculous up to this point, but I do think it's a very big litmus test for San Jose to understand where they are at this point of the season. Of course, noting that a win doesn't mean they're the best, a loss doesn't mean they're the worst.
Well, it's interesting to note that Colorado not only has not lost in regulation at home this year, they only have one regulation loss all season, but the only other two losses that they have are shootout losses. So they haven't even lost in overtime at home. You may remember the Sharks win in overtime at SAP Center against Colorado. That's a motivating factor for the Avalanche, certainly when they think about this team. There will be no secrets, no surprises. And, you know, you've got the altitude factor here in Denver as well. And I think that that means the Sharks are going to have to start out pretty well and get solid goaltending. But, boy, it's exciting. And you know, we've been talking about this. You start out, and I've kind of evolved in my thinking on this. You actually start out as a hockey team where you pray you can win. Then that very quickly evolves into you hope you can win. And then you get to the next evolution and you think you can win.
Yeah.
And that last piece, which is the hardest one to get to, is you know you can win. But that little space between thinking and knowing, sometimes you think you know you can win and you really don't know. So that's the process that a team becomes an elite club. The Sharks right now, I think, are at the point where they think they can win. I mean, they believe they can win. They have that belief. They know that they have the ability to do it. And that's something that is very exciting to see, because the last 6 years have been tough for Sharks fans. And I think we're seeing something here that makes everybody very excited.
5:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. 6 o'clock go time as the Sharks visit the Avalanche. Dan, thank you for time as always. I'll be listening a little bit later this evening and we'll talk soon. All right.
Thanks a lot, Ted. Talk to you later.
Always great to get Dan's insights and thoughts and viewpoints on the team. The Sharks are in an interesting position going into this game tonight. They are the underdog against the hottest team in the NHL. But while saying that, they have beaten Colorado already once this year, albeit at the Tank and not in Colorado. But the Sharks have beaten a lot of good teams. They've taken down New Jersey. They just took down Boston. They've defeated Seattle. They've defeated the Kings. These are things that we pay attention to and are indicative of what I say is growth this year for the San Jose Sharks. You could also bring up earlier games this year and said they probably should have beaten Anaheim. They probably should have beaten Vegas. They didn't, but hopefully those bumps in the road early on are part of their process to figuring out who they are going to be in the NHL, how they are going to get there. And again, these games that are true tests like tonight, it probably give them more of a reality check about where they are and where they want to be. Now, if they win tonight, does it mean they're the best team in the NHL? No. If they lose tonight, does it really mean more than them getting beaten by a better team? No. But again, seeing the Sharks viewing this as an opportunity, I think that's the biggest aspect of where they are right now versus where they've been against good teams the last few years. We are just about out of time, but remember, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock go time, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Dan Rusinowski and Jamal Mayers on the call as the Sharks take on the Avs. I'll be on NBC for pre and post if you want to check me out there. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.
Rainey moving from right to left. Across the line, slips the pass to Eklund, moving into the zone. Has to catch it on his backhand. Turns to the right corner, went to Toffoli. Now to the point, here comes Celebrini. He scores! Eklund Celebrini goes top shelf from the left circle and beats Swayman. And the Sharks score on the power play. Orloff got that puck from the far side.